Saving Face in Singapore.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. President Bush has some splaining to do while he's in Asia. He wants to convince nervous Asian allies the U.S. still wants to do free trade deals with them. At a speech in Singapore today, Bush said America must reject isolationism and open up global trade. The House just turned down Bush's request for normalizing trade relations with Vietnam, his next stop. The president has until the middle of next year to strike trade deals under the fast-track authority granted by Congress. Today, China laid out new rules that will govern foreign banks operating in the country. Ruth Kirshner reports from Beijing.
The new rules place tough restrictions on foreign banks. They must register an entity and incorporate it locally if they want to offer services like loans and credit cards. And foreign banks must also set aside $120 million in registered capital. In turn, they will be allowed to conduct retail banking business in the Chinese currency, the yuan, for the first time. But the government has taken measures to control the expansion of foreign banks, says Ivo Naumann of Roland Berger Consultancy in Shanghai.
You still require for each new city what you want to enter a new license. And that is still something where the Chinese regulators have some leeway where they could potentially slow down the expansion of foreign players.
But analysts say this strategy is unlikely to impede global retail banking giants such as Citigroup or HSBC. In Beijing, I'm Ruth Kirshner for Marketplace.
Airline stocks and Google gave Wall Street a boost yesterday. The Dow gained 33 points to another record close, 12,251. The Nasdaq climbed 12 points. At one point, Google came within 15 cents of $500 a share. The S&P 500 added 3 points. U.S. Airways stock shot up almost 17% after it made an offer for Delta. You're probably familiar with Bob and Harvey Weinstein, the movie producing brothers. They founded Miramax and made a long list of films like Pulp Fiction, Good Will Hunting, Chicago. Now the Weinsteins are on their own, and they just announced an exclusive deal with Blockbuster. Ashley Milne-Tite has more.
The Weinsteins hope the terms of the deal will make it worth limiting themselves to one distributor. The Hollywood Reporter's Greg Goldstein says Blockbuster will not only showcase Weinstein Company rentals, but also run clips from current theatrical releases in stores. In return, the chain's hoping to draw some exclusive foot traffic.
If someone's looking for the next Quentin Tarantino movie, and they know that they can only get it at Blockbuster, they will go there.
For Blockbuster, the deal is also a leg up in their ongoing battle with rival Netflix. Still, entertainment journalist Dade Hayes says success depends on one question.
Whether there's going to be a real home run title that will make it all worthwhile.
He says the brothers have yet to score the kind of hit they enjoyed at Miramax. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
You are listening to Marketplace. Today is the 30th Great American Smokeout. People are encouraged to quit smoking for at least 24 hours. Tobacco companies have lost a lot of customers over the past three decades, but as Elisa Roth reports, the industry isn't in the ashtray just yet.
It's not what you'd call a growth market in the U.S., but about one in five Americans still smokes, and Morningstar analyst Greg Warren says it'll likely stay that way for a while.
The information's already out there. People know smoking is bad for you.
He means that people who smoke know the risks and don't care. The developing world is where the growth is, and Altria, a company you might remember as Philip Morris, has a major presence overseas. In the U.S., Warren says tobacco companies are managing to hang on by upping their prices.
So even though volumes were declining, sales were actually staying flat or, in some cases, slightly positive.
And he says they're starting to look at alternative forms of tobacco where the market is still growing. Mostly in the stuff you chew. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Which comes to you from American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, committed to providing financial expertise that helps both our members and our communities thrive. Let's thrive. Thrivent.com. By Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. Conversations from the Corner Office, Dialogues with Top CEOs, is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, shrm.org.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. One of the things that attracts people to a city is its culture, theaters, museums, galleries. But a series of studies from the University of Minnesota finds that artists have a much broader impact on a city's economy than you might think. The latest study comes from economist Ann Markison at the Humphrey Institute. Our economic correspondent Chris Farrell tells us more.
What she argues is that the role of the artist is significant in generating economic growth, because what artists do is that they encourage the creation of specialized manufacturers, like printing. They help create supply chains, so that the artists and the artist community itself is a generator of economic growth, a vastly underestimated generator of economic growth. It's not just an attraction for other people to live in an area. And so there's been a series of studies, and the latest, which is called Crossover, particularly looks at artists in two communities, San Francisco and Los Angeles.
What did they find about the artist community in those two cities and how it affects the economy?
The reason why they call their study Crossover is that you have your commercial world, your nonprofit world, and your community world. What they found is that most artists throughout their career move between the three. They make some money in the commercial world, and they get some reward in the commercial world. They also spend some time in the nonprofit world and doing community work.
Well, let's say I'm a city leader in the Midwest somewhere, and I see this study. What can I do to benefit from it?
First of all, state and local economic development is still way too influenced by brick and mortar and tax breaks. One city is going to give a break to some company that's in another city to move here and build their headquarters, and they give them all kinds of breaks. Look, you want to develop your region, you want to focus on your human capital, you want to focus on people. You know, making it easier to turn warehouses into dance studio space, or encouraging the growth of theater in your area, and, you know, sort of making the regulations and the zoning that puts a lot of barriers to these changes. You know, you can make that type of a change. It's a lot cheaper, but it's also where a lot of your economic development is going to come from. Spending taxpayer money to lure manufacturing plants, downtown headquarter buildings, you know, that's essentially a zero-sum game. And it's much better for government to focus on human capital, especially artistic and creative labor, rather than buildings, development, and companies.
All right, Chris, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Chris Farrell is the Marketplace Economics Correspondent. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.